This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Despite opposition from its allies, the U.S. says it will supply Ukraine with internationally banned cluster munitions. Russia calls the move an act of desperation. Palestinians say farewell to a young man killed during an anti-settlement demonstration in the occupied West Bank amid outcry over Israeli crimes. French demonstrators taking to the streets in Paris in defiance of a protest ban with dozens of rallies planned to denounce police brutality in France. Welcome to World News here in the Iranian capital. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Good to have you with us. The UK says it will not provide internationally banned cluster munitions to Ukraine in its war with Russia.
Well, the UK is signatory to a convention which prohibits the production or use of cluster munitions and discourages their use. We will continue to do our part to support Ukraine against Russia's illegal and unprovoked invasion.
Sunak made a comment addressing reporters. Spain has also followed suit. It says that certain weapons and bombs cannot be delivered under any circumstances. Germany is opposed to sending cluster munitions to Ukraine as well. On Friday, Washington said it would send Ukraine the widely banned weapons to help it in its counteroffensive against Russia. It says Kiev has provided written assurances that the weapons won't be used against civilians, and Russia has slammed Washington's move, saying the decision is an act of desperation which displays weakness. Cluster munitions are banned by more than 100 countries. A former CIA analyst, Ray McGovern, says Washington's decision is illegal and against international law.
They're horrible weaponry. They linger. They kill civilians long after the battles are over, sometimes a dozen years later. Now, that's why 111 countries have banned it. That's why, of all people, Annalena Baerbock, the foreign minister of Germany, has already complained about it. Now, the NATO summit comes up on Tuesday and Wednesday. Will she complain about it then? That's the real problem, isn't it? Will she acquiesce like Germany always does? Stoltenberg, the head of NATO, has already said, oh, it's for every country to decide this on its own. Well, then what is NATO for? Is NATO really a collective? Or does the U.S. announce what it's going to do? The Germans sort of object a little bit, and then they say, oh, well, okay, the U.S. probably knows what it's doing. This is an awful decision. It's not only illegal broadly, it's even illegal in the United States unless you accept a certain out in the legislation that gives the president the right to do pretty much whatever he wants.
The EU has been mounting pressure on Italy over the ratification of a Eurozone bailout reform. Italy is the only EU member state that has not yet ratified the amending agreement, and Brussels cannot wait longer, Max Civita reports.
Time is ticking, and the European Union seems no longer willing to wait for the Italian government to ratify the reform of the European Stability Mechanism, or ESM. Italy's lower house has recently approved a four-month postponement of the examination of a bill ratifying the new Eurozone bailout mechanism. Brussels says Italy's failure to approve the amended mechanism will mean other countries will not be able to make use of it in the future. The ESM is a rescue fund set up to provide loans to financially distressed euro area countries. Rome is the only EU member state not to have ratified the reform treaty.
Orgoglio, ottimismo.
Pride, optimism, confidence is what we need, and I have all three. We are committed to the reform of European governance, but in our opinion, the new mechanism should give more priority to growth, without which it becomes more difficult to guarantee stability.
Some media have reported that Meloni and her allies are concerned over the impact of the new European Stability Mechanism and its strict fiscal rules over budgetary sovereignty.
The Meloni government is under pressure from the opposition parties, which have said the refusal to ratify the treaty is damaging Italy's credibility. However, some economic analysts believe Prime Minister Meloni is simply playing political games.
This coalition of, it's absurd calling them center-right, of strongly right-wing parties has played a very smart game in the past years, pretending to represent, to some extent, to some part of the population, a systemic alternative to the power of the elite.
Surveys show Italy's manufacturing sector contracted in June at the steepest rate in over 3 years. In a recent meeting with entrepreneurs from the wealthy north of the country, Italy's Prime Minister Meloni dismissed concerns about a recession, offering instead an optimistic outlook for the economy. Max Civili, Rome.
Now, in other news, the mourners have held a funeral for a 24-year-old Palestinian man killed on Friday during a demonstration against Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank. The young man, identified as Abdul Jawad Hamdan Saleh, was killed in the village of Safa near Ramallah. The village has been the scene of attacks by settlers in recent months. Israeli forces also killed two other Palestinians during a raid on Nablus on Friday. Israel has intensified deadly crackdown across the occupied territories this year. Just days ago, the military launched a deadly offensive in Jenin, killing a dozen Palestinians and wounding scores more. The UN chief says that the regime's atrocities may constitute war crimes. Now, French authorities have put a ban on a planned protest against police violence as unrest is intensifying across the nation. Police officials said the ban has been imposed on a memorial rally in a central square in Paris over what are called risks to public order. The rallies are being held, though, across the country. Protests erupted after a police officer fatally shot a 17-year-old boy of Algerian-Moroccan descent during a traffic stop late last month. Around 45,000 extra forces have been deployed to the city to crack down on rallies. More than 1,000 people have been arrested already. The UN Rights Office has expressed grave concerns over the incident, calling on France to adopt legislation that defines and prohibits racial profiling within its law enforcement agencies. Authorities have rejected the UN's call as unfounded and excessive. A political analyst, Mustafa Traore, says that the French government has proved that it's not willing to fight racism and the United Nations needs to step in.
Racism is something very obvious in France. We've been saying it for years, but it seems that the authorities do not want to listen to those who suffer from racism. And the reason why is because we live in a very racist society, a society that built itself through slavery, through colonization, through the exploitation of other people, and they do not want to change the system. We need the intervention of the UN. Otherwise, nothing is going to change. Otherwise, not because the will to change things is not there in France. So it is that the UN has to put more pressure. And we've got to think if an independent organization should not be asked to do the job to control the French police, because we have reached a stage where people is clearly being killed. Okay, so to the point that when you have kids of African backgrounds, you're very scared. Now, when they get to a certain age, you have to explain them things, okay? You know, if normal kids do this, you won't be able to do that, okay? You have, because you are seen in this society differently. And I think this is not a normal thing. This is not how things should be.
Iranian foreign minister has hailed Algeria's support for Palestine as he met his Algerian counterpart here in Tehran. And a joint presser, Hossein Amir Abdullahian, lauded Algeria for objecting to Israel's observer status in the African Union. The objection led to the expulsion of Tel Aviv's delegation from the bloc summit in February. Amir Abdullahian also pointed to the fighting in Sudan, calling for a lasting ceasefire through dialogue. The top diplomat urged the expansion of ties between Tehran and Algiers in different areas, including energy, industry, and technology. Algerian Foreign Minister Ahmed Attaf, for his part, called for boosting bilateral relations. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says security forces have foiled a terrorist attack on a police station southeast of Iran, killing all the four assailants. As announced in a statement, the terrorists raided a police station in Zahedan in Sistan-e Balochistan province earlier today. They faced stiff resistance by police forces stationed there and were all shot dead. Two police forces were martyred in a firefight. An anti-Iran terrorist group has claimed responsibility. Zahedan has witnessed multiple terror attacks in recent years. The Pakistani government has declared Friday as the official day of the sanctity of the Holy Quran, and that in protest at its desecration in Sweden. Demonstrations were held all over the nation, while the parliament passed a resolution urging the Stockholm government to take legal action against the man who insulted Muslims' holy book. A correspondent reports.
Tempers are flaring in Pakistan after the desecration of the Holy Quran in Sweden. Hundreds of Pakistanis marched in the streets across the country to honor the Muslim holy book.
They have given us a lot of pain by burning our holy book. We have always respected other religions.
The West, it claims to be the custodian of the entire world and says, you know, the values they set, they should be followed. I think that they are being a little hypocrite over here. Hypocrisy is prevailing in their societies.
Friday was marked as the day of sanctity of the Holy Quran with rallies and demonstrations held in all major cities of the country. Pakistani Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif called for the nationwide protests a week after a man desecrated a copy of the Muslim holy book Quran in Stockholm.
These outraged Pakistani people are not only expressing their support for collective measures by Muslim nations to prevent future desecration of the Holy Quran, but also demanding the end of such Islamophobic actions being carried out by some Western states.
The protest rallies were followed by a special joint session of the parliament. Lawmakers adopted a resolution condemning the desecration of the Quran and demanded that the Muslim world boycott those countries, hurting the sentiments of the Muslims with such blasphemous acts. Addressing the special parliamentary session, Pakistan's Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif demanded that the Scandinavian country must take practical measures against the desecration of the Holy Quran, saying that the mere condemnation was not enough. Islamabad has also urged the United Nations to convene a special session and invite Muslim world leaders to discuss the issue. That's another sign of gravity of the situation, not just for Pakistan, but Muslims worldwide. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
A large number of people in the Iranian capital, Tehran, have marked Eid al-Qadir by attending a 10-kilometer-long parade. And that was hailed as the world's largest celebration event of its kind. Our correspondent was also there.
The world's largest Qadir celebration. In the Iranian capital of Tehran, a 10-kilometer route was lined with more than 1,200 stations to celebrate Eid al-Qadir. The streets were decorated with green flags and other decorative elements as part of the celebrations. The route was filled with people from all walks of life.
Millions of Iranians all across the country celebrate Eid al-Qadir. People from all walks of life celebrate this day together out in in the street.
Today is Eid al-Ghadir, which is one of our biggest days. We have brought our children to get them familiar with the Eid al-Ghadir celebration. This is a happy day and good things are happening today. Our children should learn about Eid al-Ghadir from a young age.
Children are also a main part of the massive rally. They say they have joined the 10-kilometer walk for the love of Imam Ali. Families also take the opportunity of Eid al-Ghadir to introduce the teachings of Imam Ali to their children.
We are here because of our love for our supreme leader and Imam Ali. We love Iran and Imam Ali.
I want to know Imam Ali because he was a good man. We want our children to know about Imam Ali and follow his path.
Today I'm here with my daughter, Maryam, and my wife. I've brought my daughter here to mark Eid al-Ghadir together.
On this day, different programs and events, such as musical performances and plays, are carried out, and food and drinks are distributed as a part of the massive celebration. The celebration ends with fireworks as a reminder of the brilliance of this significant day. Farzana Shuryun, Tehran.
Now, elsewhere, an energy exhibition is underway in the Syrian capital, Damascus, with the aim of creating opportunities in that sector that has been under the West's sanctions for long years. Our correspondent has more in his report.
An exhibition on energy, gas, and petroleum opened its doors in the Syrian capital, Damascus. Syria's Minister of Oil, alongside Iran's ambassador to Syria, toured the venue and got briefed on the latest technologies in this sector. The Syrian official stated that Syria plans to increase oil production. There are 55 local and regional companies participating in the four-day event from countries like Russia, Algeria, Iraq, and Iran, which has the largest number of non-Syrian companies in the exhibition. They said they aim to explore partnerships and assist Syria in developing its oil industry, which was heavily affected by the war in Syria. According to Syria's oil ministry, the oil and gas sector in Syria has sustained nearly $100 billion as Western countries continue to impose unjust sanctions on the Arab country. Natural resources used to be one of the main sources of income for Syria until the U.S. occupied most oil-rich areas during the war. And in a world where double standards are common, only few countries like Iran and Russia offer help to Syria by discussing partnerships and solutions at such events. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. Eurasian leaders have called for strengthening win-win ties within the grouping as global turbulence persists. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Tehran International Road, gone are the days when British and American shippers of 19th century used to Shanghai sailors to force them into bonded labor on long voyages, generally to Chinese port of Shanghai, and especially for the lucrative opium trade to ruin the economy of China. And thanks to the expanding Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, of which Iran became the 9th member on July 4th, the time is fast approaching for the end of the U.S. Shanghaiing of nations through military threats and economic sanctions and terrorism by imposing the dollar for international trade transactions. This is what President Dr. Seyed Ebrahim Raisi meant in his address to the 23rd virtual summit of the SCO, which approved the membership of the Islamic Republic, when he said, "It is now quite evident that, along with militarism, what forms the basis of the Western domineering system has been the dominance of the dollar. Therefore, any attempt to shape a fair international system requires the removal of this instrument of dominance, the U.S. dollar, in intra-regional relations." With Iran's joining, the SCO comprises more than 60% of the population of the Eurasian region and more than 40% of the world's population. This huge capacity has given this organization a wide potential to develop trade and deepen economic cooperation in various forms. It is obviously another decisive blow to the U.S. and its fast declining hegemony, as Iran, with its strategic geographical location that serves as a bridge for several landlocked countries to the high seas and shortens the trade routes while greatly reducing the economic cost for transportation of goods. No wonder the Iranian president said in his speech that the Islamic Republic has made the North-South Corridor and the Belt Road Project a priority. He said, "With the efforts of Iranian experts and the joint cooperation of Iran and Russia, the completion of the North-South Corridor rail route has entered the implementation stage. The use of this communication highway can help to improve and stabilize global supply chains and bring security to the nations of the region." The SCO, headquartered in China, is an economic bloc, and besides the host country and Iran, its 7 other members are Russia, India, Pakistan, and the landlocked Central Asian republics of Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. The SCO opens new horizons of regional convergence and security-building cooperation. In the words of President Xi Jinping of China, during the recent virtual summit, chaired by Prime Minister Narendra Modi of India, who welcomed Iran's membership, "The bloc has the capacity to boost ties and thwart the illegal and extraterritorial U.S. and West European sanctions. It is now an undeniable reality that, as Iranian diplomacy scores points around the world, with prospects bright for membership of the Islamic Republic in another mega bloc, that is BRICS, including Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, an isolated U.S. finds itself increasingly shanghaied." RT noted, the leaders of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, hosted virtually by India recently, have issued a joint statement on the adoption of the New Delhi Declaration. India's Foreign Secretary Vinay Mohan Quatra has announced. The statement reflects concerted efforts at countering radicalization and cooperation on digital transformation among the members, who reached consensus on 10 resolutions to increase cooperation in the Eurasian region. The document stresses the importance of building up coordinated efforts by the international community to counter the activities of terrorists, separatists, and extremist groups, paying special attention to preventing the spread of intolerance, aggressive nationalism, ethnic and racial discrimination, xenophobia, ideas of fascism, and chauvinism. RT added, Russian President Vladimir Putin, who spoke about his country resisting external sanctions and pressures, cited Russia-China trade and economic cooperation as a case in point to counter Western hegemony. He said over 80% of trade settlements between the two nations are currently made in rubles and yuan, a bid to ditch the dollar, and urged other SCO members to follow suit. Moscow's trade with SCO member states reached a record $263 billion last year, he added. Iran's president, Dr. Seyed Ebrahim Raisi, renewed his call for greater de-dollarization to further intra-regional relations and hailed the SCO as a symbol of great family of civilizations. Recently, Iran became the ninth member of the group, while a procedure for Belarus' full accession to the SCO was initiated at the summit. Chinese President Xi Jinping emphasized the importance of unity and win-win cooperation in a world full of chaos and changes unseen in a century. We need to strengthen strategic communication and coordination. We must formulate foreign policies independently based on the overall and long-term interests of the region and firmly hold the future and destiny of our country's development and progress in our own hands. He was quoted by the Chinese state news agency Xinhua.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Tonight I would like to narrate to you some of the special virtues and fadilat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And these fazail will be in the words of Ali himself. This is actually almost 20 years after the passing away of Rasulullah. This is the time when the second Khalifa was injured fatally, and he appointed six individuals to be in a shura, it's a committee, where they will sit down and choose among themselves who will be the next Khalifa. That towards the end of this discussion, when Ali was not given the Khilafat, he says, Ali stood up and he told them, لَأَحْتِجَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا لَا يَسْتَطِيعَ عَرَبِيُّكُمْ وَلَا عَجَمِيُّكُمْ يُغَيِّرُ ذَلِكُ. I'm going to present to you my arguments, which no Arab or non-Arab in the world of Islam will be able to change or deny. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen mentioned about 30 points. We don't have the time for it. Then we come to the last two statements, which are relevant to Ghadir, where Ali says, فَأَنْشِدُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ أَلْتَعْلَمُونَ عَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَالَ. I remind you of Allah. Do you know that the Prophet said, and he said this in different places, different occasions, especially in the event of Ghadir, in the largest audience that Rasulullah had seen in his life. And what did he say? إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ السَّقَلَيْنِ. I'm leaving two precious things among you. Kitab Allah wa itrati, Allah's book and my family. Lan tadillu ma in tamassaktum bihima. You will never ever go astray if you hold on to both of them. And not only that, lan yaftariqa, they will not separate from one another. Anyone claims to have Ahlul Bayt but not the Quran is not true. Anyone says that we have the Quran but not the Ahlul Bayt, again, is not true, because lan yaftariqa, never ever will the Quran and Ahlul Bayt separate from one another. Hatta yarid alayy al-hawz, until they will come. The translation there is the mistake there. It should be until they, the Ahlul Bayt and the Quran, reach to me by the fountain on the day of Qiyamah. Mawla Ali, 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 Mawla Ali. And the last example that I have here, I'd like to share with you, is فَانْشَدُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ, again about Ghadir. فَانْشَدُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ هَلْ فِيكُمْ أَحَدٌ. I remind you of Allah, he's talking to these members of the committee. Is there anyone among you about whom the Prophet said, and he said this in Ghadir, مَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهُ فَعَلِيٌ مَوْلَاهُ. That whomsoever is master, I am, Ali is his master. Allahumma wali man wala wa adi man ada. O Allah, love the person who loves Ali, and be the enemy of the person who is enemy of Ali. Not only that, Rasulullah gave this message in Ghadir. He made it a duty on every Muslim. لَيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدِ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ. Those who are present here have to convey this message to those who are absent. Not only physically who were there, this message of Rasulullah has to be conveyed. Even when we know about it, it is our duty to convey it to those who don't know about it. There is no doubt about this issue of, you know, the words uttered by Rasulullah in Ghadir. No credible Sunni scholar would ever deny that this is not true. But what they do is they say, well, Mawla has different meanings. And you open the dictionary, yes, you will see Mawla, which masters, means master, and also it means a slave, for example. It also means a friend. Especially our Sufi brothers, you know, they say, well, you know, he was Mawla in the sense of our friend. Just think about it. Look at the first statement, man kuntu Mawlahu. Whosoever's master and Mawla I am, Ali is his master. Is this a simple matter that he has gathered almost 100,000 people to declare to them that whoever considers me to be a friend, Ali is also his friend? Were all these people sitting there were enemies of Ali? If that is the reality, then Rasulullah really failed in his mission. How can it be? You have to look at the context. If there is one word which has 10 meanings, look at the context. What did he say before? Where he says, Alastu awla bikum min anfusikum. Do not I have more authority on you? And this is based on the ayat of Quran. Ar-Rasul awla min al-mu'minina bi anfusihim. The Nabi has more authority on the believers more than they themselves have on themselves. And so he asked this question, Alastu awla bikum min anfusikum. Do not I have more authority on you than yourselves? All of them said, Bala. Yes, Ya Rasulullah. It's that moment that Rasulullah raised the hands of Ali, where he says, Man kuntu mawlahu, fahadha aliyun mawlah. Mawla here is same as the meaning of the sentence before, awla, somebody who is more authority. It is about mastership and nothing else. And so then they say, well, yeah, it means he was a spiritual master. Where does it say in the words of Rasulullah? He didn't say, oh, your political master is someone else. In spiritual matters, go to Ali. Why did you then include him in the shura? Why did you all, 25 years after Ghadir, exactly by that day, 18th of Zulhijjah, you went to the door of Ali after the murder of the third Khalifa, insisting on him to become the Imam and the Khalifa. How come now the political and the spiritual leadership and mastership is coming together in the same person? And this is where we have to realize, you know, it's just playing with the words, trying to interpret according to justifying the history. But for us, Ali is Mawla in the same meaning that Rasulullah is Mawla, and Rasul is Mawla in the same meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Mawla.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi. كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Limelight.
In an open letter read out on France Interradio on June 4th, 2020, prominent French novelist Virginie Despentes unequivocally slammed racism in French society, comparing savage treatment meted out to racial minorities and privileges accorded to whites. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. French novelist Virginie Despentes wrote, "In France, we are supposedly not racist, and yet the last time a waiter refused to serve me, I was with an Arab. The last time I was told to show my ID, I was with an Arab. The last time a person I was waiting for almost missed the train because police stopped her, she was black. A white person like me can move freely through the city without even noticing the police. I cannot forget I am a woman, but I can forget I am white. That's what it means to be white, to think about it or not, depending on your mood. In France, we are not racist, but I don't know a single black or Arab person who has such a choice." A week before that, a massive wave of protest had swept French cities against widespread racism in the country, with tens of thousands of people rallying in northern Paris to challenge the status quo. The unprecedented protests in France were inspired by the global movement of justice for minorities, triggered by the murder of George Floyd, a 46-year-old black American, by a white U.S. police officer, Derek Chauvin, in Minneapolis on May 20, 2020. The difference is that France pretends it doesn't happen. What happened in the U.S. happens here, too, in France. It's the same oppression and injustice. A 30-year-old man was told France 24 at the time. And 3 years on, nothing has changed. In fact, things have only become worse. Recently, a 17-year-old man of Algerian descent was shot and killed by trigger-happy French police in the Paris suburb of Nanterre, sparking fresh anti-racism protests in France. Nahel M's brutal killing has now become a rallying cry for persecuted racial minorities in France, who have for long suffered discrimination and violence and been forced into silence and submission. The vociferous chants of "We don't forget, we don't forgive" have reverberated across France, with all minorities cutting across ethnicities, joining the solidarity demonstrations. The slain teenager's diabolic murder could very well turn out to be the George Floyd moment for French minorities and reignite the long-suppressed movement for racial equality and justice. Activists have for long accused the French authorities of treating people of color differently from whites. And there's ample examples to prove that the accusations are not humbug, but based on facts. The memories of Adam Traoré, a black French man of Malian descent who died after being arrested by French police in the suburbs of northern Paris on July 19, 2016, are still fresh. Medical reports established that immobilization and handcuffing contributed to Traoré's asphyxiation. Assa Traoré, his sister, after Floyd's murder by American police in June 2020, said the two men of color in two different countries died in exactly the same way. And both families were denied justice. She said at a protest on June 2, 2020, "Today we are not just talking about the fight of Traoré family. It is the fight for everyone. When we fight for George Floyd, we fight for Adama Traoré. What is happening in the United States is an echo of what is happening in France. Before Traoré, many people of color in France perished in police custody, with their harrowing stories unheard and untold. For example, the story of three teenagers who were rushing home one fine afternoon in 2005 in a Paris suburb after playing football and were chased by police for no reason. The terrified children between 15 and 17 took cover in an electricity station, and two of them, Zaid Bena and Buna Traoré, eventually died of electrocution, and Mohitin Altan sustained severe burns. A study conducted in 2017 by an independent French human rights group revealed that young men in the country seen as black or Arab were 20 times more likely to be apprehended by police than whites. In December 2022, Reuters reported that French police had issued 58 COVID-related fines per 1,000 people in the five Paris districts with majority ethnic minorities, which was about 40% higher than the rate of other areas with predominantly white populations. More recently, in February this year, an astonishing report on racism in France by the Representative Council of France's Black Associations, CRAN, revealed that 91% of respondents in mainland France said they have been victims of racial discrimination often or from time to time, and 85% respondents admitted to being victims of discrimination owing to their black skin. The absolute and widespread nature of the phenomenon is particularly striking. We see the progression of hateful ideas on the internet and in public debate. Patrick Lozès, CRAN founder and its first president, was quoted as saying by Le Monde at the time. The 17-year-old teenager's killing, experts believe, has again exposed deep fault lines of racial discrimination and violence in France, with French police using disproportionate force against protesters. More than 1,300 protesters have been arrested so far in France, according to reports, with the government deploying around 50,000 police personnel in major cities to quell or suppress the angry protest. He saw a little Arab-looking kid. He wanted to take his life. His mother was quoted as saying in local media, "A police officer cannot take his gun and fire at our children, take our children's lives," she said. Recently, UN Human Rights Officer spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani at a news briefing in Geneva expressed concern over the incident, calling it a moment for the country to seriously address the deep issues of racism and discrimination in law enforcement. Nahel's tragic murder, as it appears, has galvanized racial minorities in France the way Floyd's ghastly killing brought together Asian Americans and African Americans in the US.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the Internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on December 17, 2008 by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran on the occasion of Eid al-Ghadir. No one can leave and act away, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, did. That is an ambition that cannot be realized. However, the existence of the peak of perfection can serve as a beacon and show us the right way. We must all move towards the peak. We must all try to model our behavior on that peak of perfection. That is the great shortcoming of humankind. That is an important point about Qadir. This point is certainly worthy of our attention. The Islamic model of government is the message of Qadir to the world. It is hard to imagine how Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was so severe with the enemies of Islam and with all instances of spiteful acts, managed to be so patient with the oppressed and weak people.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
When he had entered Kufa for the first time and the people of Kufa were not familiar with him, his behavior as simple cloth made it impossible for the people to realize that the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, was the same person who was walking past. He was humble and patient when dealing with ordinary and weak people. When faced with powerful enemies, he stood up to them like a solid mountain. We must set these characteristics as a model for ourselves. Let me mention another point in regard to Qadir. The issue of Qadir forms the basis of the Shia belief system. We believe in Imam Ali alayhi salam as the rightful ruler of the Islamic Ummah after the Holy Prophet of Islam. This is the essence of the Shia belief system. Our Sunni brothers do not hold such a belief. They have a different opinion in regard to this issue and think differently than Shia Muslims. This is the difference between the two belief systems. However, the issue of Qadir also gives a cause of unity among the Islamic Ummah. This cause is the character of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. There is no disagreement among Muslims in regard to the character of this great and noble man.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intel Sat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6.